Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, play ball! It might be, it could be, it is! Paula seeking a new career as a baseball play-by-play announcer. Holy cow, get out the rye bread and mustard, Grandma, because it's grand salami time! White Sox play-by-play announcer Jason Benetti is on the phone to see if Paula can belt one out of the park in the broadcast booth. Plus, listener show descriptions. Nobody's know the trouble we've seen trying to describe this podcast. You listeners have come to our rescue with descriptions of our show. Thank you for calling one of us a genius. And now, the starting lineup for today's podcast, leading off, and playing co-host, is the man who always tries to frame the conversation within the topical strike zone, Adam Felber. Woo! Batting second and playing a position unknown to any sport is the woman who is queen of the wild pitches, Paula Poundstone. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you very much. So nice to be in my bedroom office.
Yeah, so nice to be in my bedroom office. And a quick thank you to tonight's house band, Nobody, trumpeter Corey Springhorn from Shoreview, Minnesota.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you,
nice
Corey.
Work,
thank
Corey.
You. Thank you so much. Adam, I have been learning another new skill during the stay-at-home order, and I would like to demonstrate it. I'm going to demonstrate it to you now. I have been researching this on the internet, but I've never actually seen anyone do it alone. So this should be exciting for everyone. Right now, Adam, I am climbing into a long wooden black lacquered box with a red and yellow painted trim. I am now shackling my feet to the end of the box and shackling my left hand within the box. I'm closing the lid and now lifting a saw with my right hand, and I am now going to saw myself in half.
Wait, Paula, I really want to get a good picture of this. So your hand is protruding from a hole in the box?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
And your head is protruding from the end. And now you're going to saw yourself in half.
My head is inside the box. And I'm now sawing. And I'm sawing. And...
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Paula, stop sawing. Stop sawing, Paula.
I think I'm going to be able to really comply with this stay-at-home order.
Oh, my God, Paula. How bad is it? Did you succeed?
Yes, I'm totally sawed in half right now. This is my upper torso talking to you.
Okay, that's deeply disturbing.
Oh, my God. Now, do not try this at home, by the way. As I said, I studied this on the internet, so I knew how to do it.
Okay, would you do the second half of it just as a favor to me?
Do what second half?
The second half of the trick where you put yourself back together and you hop out of the box.
Oh, there's no fucking way I'm going back together.
Paula, you... All right.
I'm not even sure what that is right there on the floor, but I think it might be a spleen. I am.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Are you going to be okay to do the podcast?
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't worry about me at all. I think I'm... Oh, damn it. The dog. You know, drop that. Drop it. Drop. It's my... It's my fucking kidney.
Wow. Well, I guess the problem here is that you're not going to be able to do that trick again.
Well, no, but it was amazing. It was, you know.
I guess.
It was amazing. You know, if were it not for the stay-at-home order, I would have somebody here who could have filmed it. You know what? I think the dog's about to throw up my kidney. You know,
oh, boy.
I told you to... I told you drop it. Oh, jeez. You know, I didn't think about that ahead of time, is having the dogs in here with my organs.
It sounds like there's a lot of this you didn't think through. It didn't even sound like it was the classic trick where you do end up being put back together at the end and your head is, in fact, sticking out of a hole in the box.
Oh, no, that wasn't what I saw on the internet.
Oh, my God, Paula. Well, you know, a valuable lesson was learned.
I've never seen it done by just one person.
Your wrinkle. That was your innovation.
Exactly. I brought that to it. You know, the good news is that so often when we do the podcast, since the stay-at-home order, since we've all been recording from at home, because I sit in a chair on my treadmill, and by the time we're done recording, my hips ache so badly. But the good news
over.
Is... Yeah, no, because my hips are... on the floor
across
beside
the
treadmill now. Yeah. So,
yeah.
In a way, well, that's probably good.
Thank heaven for small blessings. You know, Paula, I hate to put it to you this way, but real magicians don't actually saw people in half.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's a trick, Paula. Usually it's done by having somebody cram themselves in one side of the box and have a second person stick their feet out of the other side of the box. They're all crammed in there. But so when they saw you in half, it's actually two people that you're seeing. That way you have the legs on one side and the head on the other.
That's ridiculous. That's
No, after you've devoted so much of your time and livelihood to doing this, I hate to break it to you, but that's in fact how the trick is done.
Huh. But that's a trick. They're doing a trick. This was
true enough.
Yeah, this was not a trick.
Let's gracefully segue as you bleed out to welcome the rest of our staff here today.
Hold on just a minute. Don't drink that. Do not drink that. Get away from there. See.
Oh, God. Hey, producer Tony Anita Hulk from her apartment in Studio City. How you doing?
Yes.
What's new in your life? We're desperate for something new. Tell us something new.
I'm rewatching all of the Marvel movies.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
All of them?
Yeah.
And
why?
What order are you doing them in?
Okay, there are two questions. I'm doing them just however I feel. I want to watch them and... Because I enjoy watching them.
Excellent.
There were one or two that were worth watching. All right, which one have you most recently watched, Tony?
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, that's a terrific one.
It is. That is a great one.
Super funny. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I thought of you guys when I watched Age of Ultron, though.
Why did you? Oh, because we reviewed that one, didn't we?
We reviewed it, yeah. And every time I see Jeremy Renner, a bad one. I think of Paula, yeah. So...
You know, he's the guy with the arrows, right? The useless,
yes.
The useless hero, yes. Hero with the arrows. Yeah. Yeah. They have a new guy, that sort of rivals him in terms of power, which is there's a guy with a dustbuster. And
a dustbuster?
Yeah. He will just come upon like a villain and just clamp that dustbuster on the villain's cheek and suck the shit out of that guy's cheek. You know, until...
What's his superhero name?
Until the battery runs down. Sucky.
Sucky?
Sucky.
Wow.
Sucky, the superhero.
All right. Boy, Paula, you were one of the chattiest recent multiple amputees I've ever met. Let's move on. Bonnie,
well, you know what I'm
Burns.
Doing is I'm pushing.
What?
You know, I've found the pressure point, and I'm just pressing, and it seems to be cutting off a lot of the bleeding.
Now, is that pressure point the entire middle half of your body?
Yeah, I've just kind of clamped, and well, I also was smart enough to, in case something went wrong. Which it didn't,
yeah.
But I also have a hefty bag that I've tied around myself.
Oh, well, that's a lovely image. Bonnie Burns, Captain Crinkle, this is the first time I've ever wanted to segue to you, but
yeah,
I deeply
well,
want to.
Hold on a minute, because I didn't really have this handy, but...
You know,
I don't
you
want
could
you to feel like you're missing out.
You could just as easily not do that, Bonnie. But anyway, what's new with you in your life?
You know what's really interesting? I didn't think I had anything to talk about, and now my head's
that's never stopped you in the
with
past.
To bring up based on where we are right now in the show.
Well, your head is a swirl.
Wait, what are you?
Is that what you said?
It's a swirl.
It's funny that your head is a swirl because my blood is a swirl.
Well, one thing that occurred to me is, can you still work with no legs?
Yeah, I can. I can. As a stand-up comic. Well, first of all, you know, my job is gone now because people can't gather in crowds probably for a couple of years.
Right.
I know, but when we go back...
I think by then...
You're going to have to be a sit-down comic. We're going to get you a skateboard or something, Paula. You'll be fine.
I think I will be fine. I think that, you know, with some physical therapy...
Then I was impressed that Paula knew Marvel movies besides the one that you reviewed because, you know, I brought up Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld, and she'd never even watched those.
Do you know why?
No. You're surprised Paula watched any movies that weren't the ones that you recommended to her?
No, I'm just saying, no. What I'm saying is she'd watched contemporary movies and she knew them. When I've brought up Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld... And she was unfamiliar with those shows.
Why would her not watching Curb Your Enthusiasm have anything to do with the Marvel movies?
It's nuance, Adam. Don't you?
No,
it's not nuance. That's not nuance. Anyway, Bonnie, we were going to get to something that's new in your life, right?
No,
I'm just saying. So I could mention that, or I could tell you that, like, then Tony said that that's what she'd been doing, Marvel movies. No offense, Tony, I don't think that's that exciting. So I could say, which is pretty boring in my life, but shows you what's been going on, that my excitement for this week is looking forward to Survivor has a big 2-hour finale tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, so there's nothing new in your life, but you still managed to take a shot at Tony.
I love Tony.
Well, why shit on her like that?
No, this is...
but that's the state she's gotten to, so there you have it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of shitting on someone, do you know that...
That's the worst segue ever, Poundstone.
Do you know that after you cut yourself in half, your bowels just release?
Okay.
There's an image.
Yeah, wow. I thought this show couldn't get any worse, and lordy lordy, there it just
did. Why, did you know that already? Yeah. Do you know what I think is strange, Bunny? Is that I know that about your bowels releasing, but I never saw Seinfeld.
Yeah, that is peculiar. I wouldn't think that you would know that and still not have seen Seinfeld.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can move on.
Adam, I have a word.
Oh, you do? Is your word by chance bisection?
No, I have a big...
This week's word is bisection. It's the act of cutting yourself in half.
Right now I have a hefty bag around where I'm leaking, and so that my liver just shot to the bottom of the hefty bag. I'll be able to get that and put it back
in. Yeah, you'll
be
able to get that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I have some, I have gaffer's tape. I'm not without supplies, that's what I'm saying.
No, you're a resourceful woman, you really are.
I am. So what's your word, Paula? It is our lucky night, Adam. I have a word, and it's cavil. It's a verb that means make trivial complaints or objections. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. The protesters who cavil over wearing masks probably won't enjoy being intubated at all.
I like it. Kind of a COVID-19 example. Great.
It is. There's an inner lining lesson there. By the way, I saw a tweet from another nobody saying that they heard someone on ESPN use a word that our nobody knew from my vocabulary song. So,
what word is that?
I've forgotten what word it was. And I tried to find it, but I couldn't. I just remember feeling so proud.
Yeah, you should be.
All right. Let's see here. All right, let the education continue. This week's word is cavil. It's a verb that means make trivial complaints or objections. I don't want a condom on my boyfriend's erections. Last week's word wasn't your. It's a verb that means become used to something, especially something unpleasant, like not being in school to say present. The week before that, we had pelf. It's a noun that means money, especially when gained dishonestly. There's probably a slice for Hannity. Going back before that, we had a Super Bowl. It's an adjective that means impossible to overcome. That can make a person glum. And not long ago, we had nonplussed. It's an adjective that means surprised and confused and not knowing how to react. Might describe me if Trump said a fact. Let's never forget... Gallimaufry. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge, hootspodge.
Who's podge?
Adam doesn't think my song is replicable. 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 But I do. I do. I do.
Yay. All right. Paula, I'm going to need to back this truck up a little bit here.
It's actually Gallimaufry. That's what it is. Gallimaufry. I've been saying it wrong.
That's true. Yeah. Can we go back to the new verse about cavil?
Cavil.
Yeah. It means trivial complaints or objections, and you tagged it with, I don't want a condom on my boyfriend's erection.
Yeah.
I don't see that as necessarily accurate to your life, nor an example of a cavil.
Well, it is a good example of a cavil because, people don't use protection because it's a trivial complaint, and then they get pregnant.
See.
You see what I'm saying?
I see. Essentially, you're saying that people who don't like condoms and don't use them are not using them because of a cavil.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You were unclear about that. You know what, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Let me just do this for you.
Okay.
This week's word is cavil. It's a verb that means make trivial complaints or objections. I don't want a condom on my boyfriend's erections. There, does that help you?
It was exactly what you did before.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, Adam, it's the repetition.
It's definitely the repetition.
That's what's helping people. Hey. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's like a tsunami of people, but people do write to me on Twitter and say, oh, I learned this word from your song, or I heard this word in a press conference and I knew what it meant because of your song. Not a Trump press conference, but at a somebody who speaks with a little higher vocabulary level. And
sure,
you know, always makes me feel so good.
Yeah, well, I can see why. I mean, it's sweeping the nation one dusty corner at a time. Hey, nobody's. Every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, French Trump is holding his weekly press conference. I just wanted to remind everybody to be sure to tune in wherever you get your podcasts or at paulapoundstone.com.
That is correct. I have the French, the French Trump presidential press conference. Every Friday is very informative. The press asks me questions and I answer them. And it's very helpful for the American public to get the information that I share on my French Trump presidential press conference.
All right, everybody. Coming up. Detroit Tiger Hall of Fame announcer Ernie Harwell said, in radio, they say nothing happens until the announcer says it happens. I'm here to say the White Sox play-by-play man, Jason Benetti, will teach Paula how to be a baseball announcer. That's going to happen when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
On this day in unremarkable history, Wyatt Earp said, "I'm the law around here. My name's Wyatt Earp. Excuse me."
Thank you, house band Corey Springhorn. Oh, my.
Thanks, Corey. Terrific.
Now, Paula, performance venues are closed, and that, I understand, makes things tough for a comedian.
It's a huge problem, because that's how I was making my living, talking to people gathered in large groups. So I'm looking for a new job. And the thought right. occurred to me that I like to talk. So maybe I could be a baseball announcer.
Really?
The question for me is, could I do a play-by-play?
Well, Paula, fortunately, we have one of the best play-by-play broadcasters in the country with us on the phone. He can tell you whether you could actually do the job. Yes, it's time for Career Corner, where we learn about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about a train engineer? Maybe you'd like to make a living as a spot welder. What can you do with your life? Career Corner has the answer. This week, let's explore a career as a baseball play-by-play announcer. Here to help Paula discover if she could cut it in the stressful, high-stakes world of baseball broadcasting is the play-by-play man for the Chicago White Sox. Please welcome Jason. Benetti.
Thanks for being here, Jason.
I feel like we're in a cavern with the echo. It's not going to be great for the acoustics for doing the game, but I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, Jason. First things first, what do you think is the key skill that Paula's going to need to make it as a play-by-play announcer?
So the key skill, and this is why I actually think Paula could do this job, at least on the surface. Now, we'll delve deeper, I'm sure.
Yes.
But the key to being a good baseball announcer is being somebody who can weave stories in and out of action. So one of the things that you have to do is start to tell a story about a player, about a team, about a manager, about whatever, and then you're interrupted by a pitch. And sometimes you say things like, the 3-1 or the 2-2 or fouled away. And then you jump right back into your story. So I actually think Paula, in the job that she can't do right now, which again, you've chosen something that also isn't existing at this point, but I hope that it will very soon.
Yeah.
As a storyteller, as a comic, I actually think there's some crossover here.
Wow. Huh. That's good news. Now, is there a difference between a play-by-play announcer and a color commentary person?
Yeah, selfishly, I would say you don't want to be the color commentary person. Number one, you mostly have to have played the game or managed the game or coached the game.
Oh.
Because you have to break down why things are happening. So if somebody steals second base, you have to mention that they got a little bit larger of a lead over at first base and got a head start, or that they threw that curveball because they started with the slider and then set up with the fastball. It's very intricate and detail-y, and it's not nearly as fun as doing play-by-play. But the color analyst is usually somebody who played the game. The play-by-play announcer typically is more journalist-like and somebody who more often than not didn't play the game.
I see.
Did you play the game?
No, I play the game on Nintendo
yeah.
is as far as I got. So, yes.
All right. So, Jason, it's a work day for you. There's a game. Step by step, what do you do?
The the average workday for me, get up in the morning, do some research on the team that we're going to see that day. I have some notes on my computer that I refer to, and then read some stories from either our newspapers or the newspapers of the other team, and then go to lunch, grab lunch real quick, which is a perk of the job is eating. Then I get in the That's it's huge. I joke about it, but actually as a TV crew, sometimes we'll go together and we'll talk about the open and what we're going to do that night. So we actually do some work at lunch, but,
about you don't eat at the ballpark.
Well, I would like to say we eat the same food as the fans do, but our food is typically worse and we don't have like Italian sausage. We have like a cafeteria sort of thing in the press box. Nice. Does that sound appealing?
I know that Dodger dogs are like an arm and a leg now.
They're actually made of an arm and a leg,
they're made of a pig's arm and a leg. But no, I know that the food has gotten very pricey over the years, even though it's junk food.
Yeah, but that said, there are some ballparks which have like higher end stuff as well. But yeah. I just miss ballpark food. Can you tell? Like, I just want to be in a ballpark right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right. Okay. So you had your lunch and you talked over with your crew what you were going to do.
Yeah, we talked about like what we're going to do in the open that day, then go to the ballpark, put my stuff down in the booth, fill out my lineup card. And then typically.
Wait a minute. What's a lineup card?
Okay, all right, I'll double back. I have a sheet of paper that's got 9 slots in it for who's playing that night, and then I'll write out each of the players' names in order, in the batting order, that the managers each decide, and then I'll write notes in the little slots on that paper sort of to jog my memory about stories and things that I want to talk about that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that in front of me during the game. Then I go down to the clubhouse, the locker room essentially, and chat with some of the players, questions that I have from the night before, things that popped up in my research, just joking around a little bit, anything.
Are all of them willing to talk to you?
Most of them are willing to talk. It's not like a very lengthy process of like 10, 15 minutes. It's just,
right.
I've got this question or that question. I try to get in and out as quickly as possible so as to not occupy their time more than I need to, because there
gotcha.
Are other media members who ask longer questions, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I just like to be around and sort of observe. And if something interesting pops up, then I'll tell that as a story that night or later.
Mm-hmm.
Do you speak Spanish or do you have a translator I know a lot of the players don't necessarily speak English.
Yeah, I speak a little Spanish. I speak enough to get me into trouble, essentially. I mean, I took it in high school and college, but the working sort of baseball Spanish, I've picked up a little bit over the course of time, but that's something I wish I was better at. We do have an interpreter with the White Sox who travels with us everywhere. Billy Russo is his name. He is invaluable in terms of helping communicate. Cool.
So if Billy Russo isn't with you, you're stuck asking the second baseman if he has a pencil. Is that correct?
Pretty much. pretty much. And the translation is an issue. And yeah, it's unquestionably a problem.
Yeah. Or telling him that his pillow estás muy bien, that he has very good hair.
Asking where the library is. That's a common question for football players if you don't really speak Spanish. All right. So you chat with the players and then you head back up to the booth?
Yeah, chat with the players, coaches, go back up to the booth, eat again.
Let me ask you something. When you chat, Jason, with the – I'm always struck by this when I watch, like, coverage on television or hear an interview with a player before a game, because they always say stuff like, what do you hope to do out there tonight? And the player always says something scintillating, like, we've come to play and we're going to get out there and play.
Okay, I'm going to guess that open disdain for players is something that a play-by-play announcer doesn't want, right?
Yeah, dripping hatred. I would probably cut out.
No, Jason, I'm holding both the player and the interviewer responsible for these kinds of interviews because and then they talk about it after the game if they lost and they go to that. You know, the press thing where they have the
conference. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they said, well, what happened? Well, we just didn't win.
This is falling apart.
Well, what I was going to say is I have this list of things to teach Paula and I have belief that you're intellectually superior to all subjects on the list. And so I'm glad we got to that about 10 minutes in here. No. I'm glad you said it, actually, because those types of questions are things that I stringently avoid. I ask questions for specific information. Like, we have a player whose mom was an actress. And at one point, we were just talking about it back and forth. And I had asked, I think, what roles she was up for in the past. And she was going to have Madonna's role in A League of Their Own.
Oh, wow.
But she was in like a Wes Craven pilot for one of the networks and couldn't get out of the deal. Her name's Lindsay Frost. So Madonna ended up getting a League of Their Own spot. And so that's the type of thing that I'm much more interested in rather than like, why didn't you win the sports ball tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. All right. So you're back in the booth.
Right.
And you announce the game. Oh, you eat again. And then
Yeah, gotta eat again. But then, yeah, we announce the game. We typically tape our open. So when you see us on camera saying, welcome to the ballpark, we'll tape that about half an hour before the game just to have it in the can in case something bizarre happens. Because you gotta worry about timing, because you never want to come on the air when the national anthem is on. Mm-hmm. Because then you have that awkward thing where you're like, hey, welcome to the... And it's like, oh, say, can you see in between your words? And it seems really uncomfortable that you'd be talking over the anthem. So we tape that. And then we sit down, Steve Stone, my broadcast partner, and I, we sit and do the game and tell stories and have fun and smile.
All right. You know what? There's a terrible thing that's just happened. But there's a hole in my hefty bag. No, hold on. I have to let...
Okay, now I should probably catch Jason up. Paula sawed herself in half in the first act of this podcast. Is that going to be a problem as a play-by-play announcer?
Does she have working use of her mouth and face?
The mouth never stops. How's your face, Paula?
My face is good. My face is absolutely good.
So then we'll shoot the on camera is basically waist up, so we'll just shoot it that way. You're fine.
Walk it off.
Nobody, well, the other half will have to walk it off, right?
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know, that could be a good thing, like, because baseball can be a little slow sometimes. And so that might be a good thing if just nothing is happening and the backstory on every player has been told. And none of the fans, there are no fans in the stands right now anyways. So maybe there'll just come a time where I just turn to my broadcast partner and I say, you know, I sawed myself in half. Or, because baseball is a little slow. Does that, like, do you ever lose your focus because of that?
I think we all do. Absolutely. There are moments where it's a 9-1 game in the seventh inning and we're talking about who knows what. And I look down at my scorebook and there are two boxes empty and I don't know what the other player did. So I'll like motion over to Steve and he'll say on the air what had happened in a way that you don't realize he's telling me what I missed. And we'll kind of do that back and forth a little.
Oh, that's so great. He'll say stuff like the White Sox are playing the Yankees.
Right. Or he'll say like, well, if you just joined us for this inning, it started with a double and then there was a strikeout looking, and I'll feverishly write down what he was saying because I forgot.
Okay, back up, Jason. A strikeout looking. What does that mean?
It is. So there are three strikes for each batter. I felt really good about your prospects, and now I've sort of backslid.
I gather that three strikes and you're out. I get that part, but strike out looking. I don't know what that means, looking.
So if the third strike was thrown to you and you didn't swing, you've struck out looking.
Oh.
Because you just looked at the pitch going by you.
I thought it was that the pitcher was coming on to the batter.
What?
And the batter didn't respond, and that's a strike out looking.
That rarely happens. I see what you're saying. The batter didn't respond, or maybe the batter is transfixed.
Strikeout.
You know, come on.
I like it that you said that rarely happens. That you didn't eliminate the possibility of it ever happening.
Why would you?
Yeah, rarely.
That's why you go to a baseball game. You got to learn the old cliche. You go to a baseball game because something new happens every day. If you say that three times a telecast, people will think you're a baseball announcer for sure.
Oh, is that what they say? One of my favorite baseball moments was, and the announcer was what was great about it. They did a father and son game. I'm from Massachusetts, and so I used to watch the Red Sox. And they were doing a father and son game, and they put a little diamond inside the big diamond for the kids to run on. And there was a player back then, it was before you were born, and there was a player back then named Carlton Fisk. And he
played for the White Sox too. I know Carlton.
Oh, I don't know. Well, his
catcher.
His kid was like 2 years old, and he's out there in like a diaper, and they gave him one of those big plastic red bats where the top of the bat gets very, very big. And so I think he hit the ball by himself, actually, but the concept of running the bases was foreign to him. And so he just hit the ball and he dropped his little red bat and he just started walking. And the play-by-play guy, when he would say what was happening, he would say, man on first and left field, which I just loved. Man on second and center. He just, the kid never came to the bases.
And that's the kind of story you could tell during your broadcast.
Yeah.
You would just have to punctuate it with balls and strikes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Right, Jason?
All right. So I would say, he said, man on first and left field. And then I would go, strike two.
The pitch.
Yeah. There's the pitch. Because they always talk like that. It doesn't sound like you talk like that. But usually they go, there's the pitch.
I can if you want me to talk like that. I'm happy to do it.
Well, that sounds great. Vin Scully made this memorable call. In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. He wasn't talking about the election of Donald Trump, but rather Kirk Gibson's World Series walk-off home run. We'll see if Paula can create memorable moments in the announcer's booth when we come back. The Cat of the Week is Ralph from Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there were some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
And we're back, everybody, with White Sox play-by-play announcer Jason Benetti.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
Hey, speaking of signature sounds, you know, Paula's going to need a home run call, isn't she, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. So think of the best interjection exclamation that you can possibly think of that may or may not be appropriate for a mass audience. And when the ball goes over the wall, just scream it as loudly as possible.
What's yours?
I don't have a home run call.
The guy I've got one for you.
You do? What is it?
Yeah, I got it from Tony Hall, one of our producers. Holy fuck balls!
Holy fuck balls, Paula?
Yeah, you don't have to say it out. HFB!
HFB!
Oh, HFB is gone!
Yeah, Jack.
I kind of like it.
And then later when the Senate Judiciary Committee asked you about it, pretend that that's not what it means. Holy fuck.
Right.
Pretend that
right.
It means something else.
Hammer from beyond or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hammer from beyond. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you just decided never to have a home run call? Do you just what's your reasoning behind I'm not going to have a signature home run call, Jason?
Yeah, I never really had one. And the guy who I replaced here in Chicago named Ken Harrelson Hawk had this great, he had like the best home run call in the history of the world. He yelled, "You can put it on the board. Yes." And it's this iconic big thing. And he's a Hall of Famer. And there's no way like that I should start sparring with "You can put it on the board. Yes," because it's perfect.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
HFB.
Yeah.
How about call the widow because that ball is gone? That kind of personifies the ball a little bit. You can have that one, Jason, if you want it.
Thank you. Can I have all of these and just try them out, workshop them?
Yeah. Maybe it should be get a lawyer because there's a pedestrian with a concussion right now.
That seems very practical.
Yeah.
Some lucky fan is going home with a concussion.
Yeah. It's all right. So here's what the call is. Better call Saul.
I like that we're taking the tort suit angle to baseball. This is good. This is good.
I think there's a lot there. You know, there's sometimes an insincere quality, I think, about, and I would never be like that. Years ago, we were on our way into a baseball game. Okay, it was a guy with a hot dog cart. It wasn't an announcer. But he was saying, this is a Red Sox game, and Freddie Lynn was the very popular, successful player at that time. So we're on our way to the game, and the guy says, "Get your Freddie Lynn dogs. Freddie Lynn dogs here. Get your Freddie Lynn dogs." And we walk past, and we go into the game, and Fred Lynn didn't have a particularly good game. It was okay, but it wasn't good. And Carlton Fisk, on the other hand, maybe got like a triple or something. It wasn't really a high-scoring game that day. And not Carlton Fisk, excuse me, Cecil Cooper. Cecil Cooper.
Okay.
So now we're on the way out of the, past the same hot dog salesman. He says, Cecil Cooper dogs, here, get your Cecil Cooper.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's always meant something to me, too. Just that, you know, that's how quickly things turn.
Yeah, well, in the process of telling that story, I'm once again struck by the fact that I think you could be a really good play-by-play announcer, because that was a remarkable story and hilarious, but also you did something that baseball announcers like to do. They very definitively say that it was somebody who was involved in the story. Then like 10 words later, they say, no, 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 it was Cecil Cooper. Like that's a perfect baseball announcer thing that you just did.
I've heard that a million times. You're absolutely right.
So you go like, Reggie Smith, it's a homer. Better call Saul. That ball's hitting the pedestrian. Wait a minute. That's not Reggie Smith. And you know what? And it wasn't a homer. He made it to second. Would that be the sort of thing you're talking about?
That's a really good start. And the other thing I would say is you have to begin a story like that with, I'll never forget it. Like, oh, July 17th, I'll never forget it. And then, like, three of the players change in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
You know who was a master of that was the great Yankee Phil Rizzuto. That guy would get lost in his own stories for what would seem like 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. Phil Rizzuto, what did he have to do with baseball?
Well, he was a Yankee player. He's a shortstop, won a bunch of championships, and eventually became an announcer for the New York Yankees.
I didn't know that. I used to see him in commercials for a thing called the Money Store.
Yeah, that's why he was in those commercials, because he was a famous baseball player, Paula.
What does that have to do with the Money Store? I'm Phil Rizzuto for the Money Store. I remember that.
I don't even know how to answer that question. Hey, Jason.
Well, how does anybody know he played baseball with the okay, Jason. All right.
Do you think that he just came up the Money Store ranks?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. He was in AA Money Store and then hit it big.
It didn't occur to you that he was saying his name out loud because it was a famous name?
All right. So here's how it would go, Jason. It would go. Yeah. And there's the pitch, swing and a miss. I just found out recently that Phil Rizzuto played baseball. I only know him from the Money Store. Another pitch, another swing and a miss.
That's it. You did. That's perfect. That's honestly really good.
And there's the third pitch, and it's a looking strike. Isn't that what was the thing you told me before?
You got it. Yeah.
I tell you what. If he looked at Phil Rizzuto, you know what he'd see? The guy from the Money Store.
Now, Jason, I want to get back to a world in which we're asking you actual questions.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you, have you ever pissed off a player? Like, do you have any feuds?
Do I have any feuds?
Have you made people mad with your announcing?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I remember the first year I was in the minors in AAA, it was really benign, I thought. I said there was a runner at first and a catcher was up. And I said, well, he's looking to avoid a double play here. And then I went down to the clubhouse the next day, and the guy basically said to me, like, oh, you think that's all I can do is avoid a double play? As though I should have said, like, he's really striving to hit a home run here. And he's right. Like, it's not like he went up there and he was like, please don't let me get two outs. But right. It was a pretty benign thing. But players do listen all the time. Like there are moments where players will come up and sort of jokingly be like, oh, why'd you jinx me? Or because the jinx is a big thing. Paula, you gotta learn that even if you're just doing your job and you say that there's a no-hitter through five innings, like the pitcher's not giving up a hit, mm-hmm. if the next half inning a player gets a hit, you will be blamed on Twitter for days on end.
Oh, so you have to bring up a no hitter
because you jinxed the pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to believe in the occult. I forgot about this, to be a play-by-play announcer, because you have to believe that you can actually control the game in front of you with either your mind or your pen or something.
Have you ever, while you were in the booth, mistakenly patted your head and tapped your foot three times while waving a black feather over your head, and then a guy got out?
I You know, it was a white feather and it was only twice, but you nailed it. I mean,
they're extremely superstitious bunch. I don't know of any other sport where both the players and the fans are so superstitious, right?
Yeah, people have like a chair that they sit in to make sure the team wins, or like they always get the same curly fries in the same inning if something went well. I mean, it absolutely happens like that. It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Are you always on the lookout for new adjectives?
I like new words. I absolutely like new words. Since I don't do radio as much as TV, I'm not as descriptive. Like, TV is a lot of storytelling and talking to your partner and riffing like we were talking about. But when I do radio especially, like, I'm absolutely always looking out for new words. Do you have some?
No, I don't.
You have no new words.
Paula, you have a vocabulary song that you sing every week on this show.
That's a good point, Adam. I don't know if you guys can hear my dog outside barking. It's because a neighbor just hit a homer. let's see. Here's one, Jason. The Yankees are up 5 runs and we're in the 7th inning. That could be insuperable for the White Sox. It's an adjective that means impossible to overcome. Insuperable.
I actually think insuperable is a good home run call.
Oh, impossible to overcome. Oh, that's a good idea. Better Call Saul. That one is insuperable. Yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, Jason, I want you to prep Paula for a game. It's game day. You've fallen down a well. You can't make it to the stadium. Paula Poundstone happens upon that well, and you tell her, Paula, you got to go do the game.
So here's what I would say. Let yourself go with wherever the story goes, whether it's the story of the game, the story you're telling. The thing that's difficult for fans to listen to, I think, is when you jump around a bunch of different places and you start to tell this story and then you started talking about this thing and you start doing this and you start doing that. And so I would say, if you have something in your mind that you want to tell as a story, like the Fred Lynn story you were talking about with the hot dog vendor or whatever it might be, go that direction. And then number two, if you don't have anything to say right then, feel free to pause. On TV, announcers tend to talk a little bit too much. And if you're watching a game at home, sometimes it's really nice for a couple pitches just for you to gather your breath, but the audience as well, to just take it in and let the game breathe. So I would say follow your heart where the story's going. And then also don't be afraid to let the game breathe and just pause. And I think if you do that, plus listen to your partner, just play off what your partner's saying, ask questions of your partner, do it in sort of a camaraderie-based way, people are going to have a really entertaining time as they listen to you do a baseball game, Paula Poundstone.
Wow.
Speaking of, that's fantastic advice, but how could Paula Poundstone break into this, Jason? Is there a scenario in which Paula Poundstone gets to announce some of a baseball game?
Well, I think what we should do is start her off in the low minors, so like Butte, Montana. No. Here's honestly, now that you say that, Adam, I think it would be great fun when baseball starts up again and we can have people in stadiums. If Paula, and I don't know how you do this on this segment of the show, and I don't know if Paula ever gets to do the jobs, but I would love for Paula to be a play-by-play announcer on a White Sox telecast and join us and show what she's learned.
That's fantastic.
That would be so much fun.
If you could make that happen, that would just be the greatest thing.
I'm making it happen right now. I want it to happen very badly. So when we have people back in the park and you're here in Chicago for whatever it might be, whether it's wait, whatever it is, I want to do this. This is your invitation.
That's great.
Sounds good, Jason. I'm there.
It's a deal.
Here's what I would say about being a baseball play-by-play announcer too. One last piece of advice that you just reminded me of, Paula. Making sure that the sincerity comes through because people want to spend like 162 games with you. So like the fact that you're a fun person to hang around with makes me think that you will be amazing at this, because when you're sincere and when you say like, I want to do this, I think that comes through.
Wow. Well, that's a late-breaking story, and our listeners should stay tuned for we will play that audio when Paula finally does an inning, when baseball comes back. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Chicago White Sox and also calls games on ESPN and Fox Sports. Thank you for being on our show, Jason Bonetti!
Thank you so much, Jason. This was great having you.
This was awesome. It was an absolute joy for me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jason, for helping Paula fill out her scorecard to figure out what she needs to announce baseball. Paula, what have you learned about being a baseball play-by-play announcer, and could you do that job?
House band Corey Springhorn, if I could get a little background music, I'll tell you what I learned today. I'm so excited that Jason Bonetti, the play-by-play announcer for the Chicago White Sox, has invited me to go in the booth with him to announce a game. I won't let you down, Jason. I can practice everything you taught me. I don't know yet all the names of the White Sox, so I'm going to use my cats. All right. Brittle is at bat. There's a pitch. It's a swing and a miss. She does not look happy. She's kicking some kitty litter off her paw pads. You know, I once interviewed play-by-play announcer Jason Bonetti. He was so charming. Another pitch, and Brittle pops it up. He told me he once called a home run when it wasn't a home run. Brittle goes down swinging. It's back to the litter boxes. Next up, Hardy. My dogs barked through the entire interview with Jason, but there was nothing I could do about it. HFB Better Call Saul. There's going to be a pedestrian with a goose egg on his cabeza. Never mind. Never mind. Severus caught it. Hardy's out. He told me. He told me sometimes it's okay just not to talk. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. That was only for television. By the way, you said they eat a lot.
Coming up, listener descriptions of our podcast. How do nobodies describe the ecosystem that is Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone? Find out when we return.
Listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produce this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Go, Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the be-
okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
And we're back. I can't stop doing that. Thank you, house band Corey Springhorn. Corey Springhorn. Oh my God.
Now, wait a minute, Paula. Adam, answer the phone. Answer the
phone.
Wait,
what? Okay.
Answer the phone.
Okay, hello?
Hello, Adam. Am I the 100th caller?
No, you're not. You're caller number, what, Tony? Is it 72?
72, yep.
Wow.
Oh, okay. I'm so disappointed. It's me, Gladdy Pilgrim, and I'm so
Hi, Gladdy.
Excited that the Supreme Court is meeting over the phone now. So
okay, now,
am-
just so our listeners know, Gladdy Pilgrim has been calling lately. She's a devoutly religious woman who claims that President Trump has tagged her to be the next Supreme Court appointee.
That is correct. I will be President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. So very soon, when I am on the Supreme Court, I will be able to work from home. Plus, for the first time, anyone can listen to the argument. So this has been so helpful to me. Now, they recently heard a case about executive privilege, Adam. Can you help me practice asking questions?
Oh, you want to practice asking questions about...
The litigants, I think they're called. The people who are arguing.
Okay, so who am I going to be?
The Supreme Court asks them questions. Big Justice Roberts. We'll pretend President Trump's lawyer has made his argument, and now you be the Big Justice Roberts and tell me it's my turn. Go ahead.
All right. Those are interesting executive privilege arguments. Thank you, counsel. And now, Justice Pilgrim, do you have any questions?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. I was doing my dishes with Dawn dish soap. Why, there's a little duck floating in my sink right now, and don't my hands feel good?
Wait a minute. Gladdy, I have to ask you, are you intending to use your Supreme Court now that they're being released on audio? Are you going to be selling time?
I think you can. Yeah, because
no, I'm almost certain that you cannot do personal endorsements on the Supreme Court during questioning of counsel.
I can hear them moving all around their apartments and their homes when I'm listening, and one of them flushed while he was hooked up to the phone. And so you could hear that. But so this is, you know, this new technology is opening things up. And so I'm going to be able to, make a little extra money when I'm on the
Supreme Court. So you're
not
even on the bench yet and you're scheming to use it as a money-making scheme?
Well, things are changing, Adam. Things are changing and it's what the Lord wants. Who's your senator?
My senator? Well, I've got two. We all have two senators. I've got California's two senators. Yeah, yeah. Kamala Harris and Feinstein, right?
I don't know. I want you to call your senator, Adam, and encourage them to approve of my nomination when it's my turn. And let me tell you something, Adam. If you do that, there could be a little dish soap money in it for you. And also, the other reason I'm calling Adam Felber is I'm anxious to be able to hang out with you after the game. So I'm going to call back.
Okay. Bye, Gladdy Pilgrim.
Goodbye. Oh, good talking to you, Adam Felber.
Thank you. Wow, Paula.
Boy.
Paula, that lady is 14 carat nuts.
Our Justice Department might not be on the right footing right now. something tells me.
All right. Well, let's moving on, Paula.
Yeah.
You know, we have that website. Then when you go to the paulapoundstone.com,
it's up.
Yeah. Yes. And when you go to paulapoundstone.com, the one thing that's going to arrest your attention right away is that there's quotes from our listeners about describing our show. And every time you load the page, there's a different quote. It's from one of our listeners. And the reason that this is happening is because you're really bad at describing what our show really is.
That's true. When I've done interviews and stuff and they say, oh, and you have a podcast, I say, I do. It's called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And I have a partner, Adam Felber. And we have people
and
on.
I'm falling asleep already. I'm falling asleep
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the problem.
So we went ahead and asked our listeners to submit pithy and grabbing descriptions of the show, and they've just delivered in spades, and some of those descriptions are up on the website now. And now there's another batch, as it were. Tony Nita Hull, are you there?
Yes.
Now you have a new batch of listener-supplied show descriptions.
Tony, are any of the descriptions mentioned in myself or my ruby sateen dress?
They unfortunately do not, Mrs. Culpepper.
Oh, look at that, everybody. It's Mrs. Culpepper, one of our favorite resident hand puppets, I guess. Mrs. Culpepper, how are you doing?
Well, I'm very, very fine. Thank you for asking. Although I'm not enjoying the stay-at-home order in Paula Poundstone's house. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, you're in Paula's house?
Yes, I am. When the virus struck, I happened to be visiting. And of course, we were supposed to stay, and so I've stayed because I'm at risk, and I haven't wanted to.
Why are you at risk?
Well, I'm elderly, and that puts me in an at-risk category, and I try very hard to be safe.
We all want both you, Mrs. Culpepper, and of course your husband to remain safe during these very trying times, especially since you're senior citizens.
Well, that's part of the problem, Adam Felber. My husband is no longer with me.
Oh, no, you guys broke up?
No, we did not. Our love is still very, very strong. He's passed away, Adam Felber.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Culpepper. And well, once again, I seem to have stepped in things.
It was what? Excuse me?
I said, I seem to have really stepped in it this time. I didn't mean to bring up a painful memory. You can stop talking about it if you like.
Well, no, I'll tell you, he passed away many, many years ago, so it's not a fresh wound. He was a strong and dedicated man, dedicated to his country,
So I'm guessing if it wasn't a flesh wound, I'm guessing it was some disease, something like cancer or heart disease, I'd imagine.
Oh, well, in fact, it was a tyrotoxism that he passed.
Tyrotoxism?
Yes, that's a poisoning by cheese or other dairy products.
So he drank a bad glass of milk?
No, it was a cheese. He had some cheese.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate, but again, I'm deeply sorry for bringing it up.
It was the goat that got him.
So sorry, Mrs. Culpepper. Well, I'm sorry that you're also stuck at Paula's house, but with your permission, Mrs. Culpepper, we have to get to Tony Anita Hull's segment here.
Tony Anita Hull, so you have some descriptions for us?
I do. The first one is from Jeff Cathrall. And he wrote in, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is a gallimaufry of solecisms designed to induce cataplexy, leaving the listener nonplussed.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
So
I love
Jeff
that so much.
Jeff has enlisted any number of our vocabulary words. Thank you, Jeff. My guess is he already know all of those words, even before becoming a listener.
Yeah, sure. But let's break it down, though, for our listeners who may not have done that all. Gallimaufry is a hodgepodge.
It is a hodgepodge. And by the way, gallimaufry has been on our vocabulary song. It's the only word that I leave on every week. And it turns out last week, one of our listeners told us, I believe it was, that I had been pronouncing it wrong the whole time. I used to
Which
say
is a bit of a spot on our record, I would have to confess.
An otherwise very clean record.
Yeah, and solecism, solecism is, of course, a breach of good taste.
Yes, it's a social faux pas, I believe, is solecism. And cataplexy is an emotion that leaves one unable to move.
Right, like being transfixed by laughter, unable to move by laughter. And then nonplussed is a state of confusion that silences you.
Right, where you don't know what to do, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And many people had been using nonplussed incorrectly, myself included.
To mean unimpressed.
Right, exactly. Unmoved. Whereas, and I actually think it worked better that way. But Jeff, that's a terrific description. Thank you so much. And
once again, that description is a gallimaufry of solecisms designed to induce cataplexy, leaving the listener nonplussed. I absolutely love that.
Amazing.
Next, Paul Stevenson wrote in, "Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is the podcast that makes you go, what the fuck am I listening to right now? At least three times an episode."
Okay.
I think Paul, yeah. Although not as verbally sophisticated, perhaps, as Jeff's description, I think Paul really nails it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just want to say to Paul and all the other listeners, welcome to my world. Honestly, because I say it to myself and sometimes aloud more than three times per episode. Sometimes it's even edited out. Now, Tony, do you have any others?
I do. Here's another one. "Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone is an excuse for Paula Poundstone to let loose her free-willing genius and for Adam Felber's wife to get a little peace and quiet. May contain trace amounts of information. Guillaume Tardieu."
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. But, you know, often people manage to take a swipe at me by mentioning your little sobriquet, Paula, that I am on every show. But I feel like Guillaume goes a little farther on this one.
I am so happy for your wife.
For getting a little peace and quiet.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is an excellent description. I'm not sure that I can claim to have freewheeling genius, but I like it. How do you say his name, do you think? Guillaume?
I'm going to go with Guillaume Tardieu, but
it's
I don't
Tardieu?
Know. I'm just thinking of it. I just think of him as Billy T.
No,
but I gotta say, Billy T. That's a little insulting, and I do want to point out that, like, although I do get frustrated with Paula occasionally, and certainly with Bonnie Burns more or less all the time, that's not how I live my life. I'm not an angry guy, is what I'm saying.
Oh, huh. I on the other hand, I love the idea that you believe I'm a freewheeling genius. That's good. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, one of us got called a genius, and one of us got called an annoyance even to his own wife. So that's fucking great.
The next time I get pulled over driving, and the guy says, "Can I see your license and registration?" I'm going to say, "No, but I'm a freewheeling genius. Ask Guillaume Tardieu."
And I'm going to say, take me away, officer. It'll give my wife a break.
All right. Is there another one, Tony?
We've got one more. It's from Rachel Glenn.
Okay.
"Amazing life advice with the best visual gags you will never see."
Wow, I like that, Rachel. Ooh. And you know what? In some ways, even though we've done some amazing visual things on the show, today we really proved Rachel's point. She was prescient because Paula sawed herself in half and nobody saw it.
I did. I only have two hands. And of course, one of them I had to saw with and the other one was shackled to the inside of the box. Or I would have videotaped for you this experience, because it was amazing.
And excruciating amazing. At the same time, right?
Well, yes, I'm still in a good deal of pain, but, I'm trying to toughen up overall. I'm just trying to toughen up. You know, I think I used to indulge in too much, you know, self-pity and the like. And now, as the world brings on more challenges, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to toughen myself up so that I'm, you know, I'm not.
Well, I think sawing yourself in half has, I mean, that's definitely toughened you up a little bit. I mean, but although in some ways you're not half the woman you used to be.
Yeah. Well, my feeling is now just life, fucking bring it on. I already sawed myself in half. What else can you do to me? You know what I mean? You know what? Yeah. Bring on the goddamn murder hornets. You can't hurt me.
Yeah, murder hornets. Go for the legs, murder hornets. Good luck with that, right? Hey, Tony and Anita Hall, thank you so much for bringing those show descriptions to us. Hopefully they will be showing up on paulapoundstone.com very soon.
They will.
All right. Some of us will be back with more Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone after this. Fun fact, in 2008, Switzerland made it illegal to own just one guinea pig. In retaliation, Guinea outlawed Roger Federer. Welcome back, everybody, all you nobodies. Hey, Paula, speaking of hotel soups, we want to hear from all the nobodies, so please email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. You can submit those show descriptions that we just did, enter our theme song contest, or just drop us a line to complain about the length of the show.
Oh, we get that. And by the way, you guys, my store is open. The website is up. The store is open. It's right there at paulapoundstone.com. You can get the Poundstone Pussy Pillows, which are, it's a cat toy. It's a little pillow full of catnip. There's a cat joke printed on one side and on the other side, and you can put your cat's name, and I will autograph it to your cat. This makes it all the more valuable to the cat.
And those are being handmade by your assistant, Wendell.
That is correct. Wendell works in a sweatshop in the distant far reaches of my home.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking earlier this week, and I guess the pussy pillows are selling really well because you've had to get involved in the manufacturing process.
I've had to go on the line, yes.
And what have you done on the line?
I fill the pillows with the catnip, and I pull the little sticks. Sometimes in the catnip, there's like sticks they could poke through the little pouch, the pillow. And so I pull those out and I keep the factory clean. That's part of my job.
Well, apparently they're selling really well and I'm really happy for you. And I do have some news in that because I was offended by a couple of things about these pussy pillows. Number one, there's a grommet on the side for listeners to attach a string to.
Yes, you can tie a string and pull the pussy pillow around and make it more intriguing to your cat. But I do not provide the string, you guys,
right,
because, you know, you have to do something for yourselves, after all.
Well, or do you? Because I've been saying on this show that the combination of the you don't provide the string thing and the deeply offensive name pussy pillows motivated me to start offering on this show an alternative, Felber's Feline Fun Bags. And the idea behind the Felber Feline Fun Bag is that if you buy a pussy pillow from Paula Poundstone and you want a string attached to it, you can send it to me and I'll attach the string and then send it back to you with another signature. And I am happy to announce a listener got in touch with me today asking where she could send her Poundstone's pussy pillow so that I could transform it into a Felber's Feline Fun Bag. And I will be in touch with her over that.
Wow. So you and me are single-handedly keeping the post office running right now.
We sure are.
Also, by the way, at paulapoundstone.com are my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back. And what with summer coming up, you know, stay-at-home order or no stay-at-home order, you're going to want the remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt on your skin.
Absolutely. I guess we've come to the end. Now that we've hawked all the wares that we have to sell, Paula, you want to tell people where they can find us?
You can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and check out our Facebook page at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
That is an amazing Facebook page, by the way. Tony Anita Hall does sensational and entertaining things with it. That's our show, everybody. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Lefelber. Special thanks to our guest, Jason Benetti of the Chicago White Sox announcing crew. And thanks to tonight's house band. Yeah. And thanks to our beloved new house band, Corey Springhorn.
Yay! Thank you, Corey.
Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Well, it's all over. Paula Poundstone all over that show. Really brings home a winner.
She's moving off of third. She's looking at the home plate.
Well, that reminds me of, I was once on the third course of a giant meal at Giuseppe's in Chicago. Great restaurant, too many courses if you ask me.
I don't know, just say, oh. I was just doing the part where you sit quietly again. I just keep practicing that.
Call the widow and have her wake her children because that ball is deceased.
Because that ball is what?
Deceased. It's gone. It's a home run. Break out the paddles. No, forget it. There's no bringing that ball back.
That ball just crashed into an airliner.
Dearly beloved, gather around. That ball lived from 2020 to about July 2020, and now it is gone.
Did you hear that clink sound? That was the ball hitting the Mars rover.
A Mars shot.
Starburns Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.